Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hi, I'm Kara Swisher, editor-at-large of Recode. You may know me as someone who has a lot of great design ideas for Apple's AirPods, but Johnny Ive won't return my calls. But in my spare time, I talk tech, and you're listening to Recode Decode from the Vox Media Podcast Network. Today in the red chair is Patrick Llewellyn, the president and CEO of 99 Designs, who I met while I was in Australia recently. The company started almost 11 years ago, and he has been CEO since 2011. Before that, he was an associate director of the banking firm Nextech Strategic Capital in Sydney, Australia. Patrick, welcome to Recode Decode.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. What are you doing here in San Francisco?
Well, we've got a big team in Oakland.
You do.
So we've got 50 people over there.
So explain, I don't have nearly enough international CEOs on my program. I really don't. I have too many San Francisco CEOs and stuff like that. So when I met you, we had such an interesting conversation about things and where things were going. I thought it'd be great to have you on the show to talk a little bit about what you guys do at 99 Designs. So what I'd love to do is for you to sort of explain for everybody what 99 Designs is.
So we're a global creative platform that makes it easy for designers and clients to work together wherever they are in the world.
Right.
Over the last 11 years, we've paid out $250 million to that community, helping over 500,000 clients get access to the design they need to make their work work.
Right.
For us, we evolved. I think our founding story is fun. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that it was a forum thread where designers were playing a game called Photoshop Tennis. Mm-hmm. They started using that interaction as a way of sourcing design from each other. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that turned into our first model, which was design crowdsourcing on a global scale.
On whatever someone had.
Exactly. So we're helping you get logos designed, websites designed, book covers, illustrations, whatever it is.
Right. And so you were trying to digitize the design process, essentially.
Yeah, well, essentially what we were trying to do was take this organic behavior where designers were literally submitting to a forum, putting designs up, posting briefs, collaborating and using it as a way of sharing and learning, and then as a way of sourcing work from each other. Mm-hmm. There was no cool, what are we doing here? We're like, this looks really interesting and a great way to source design.
Right.
Let's see if we can turn that into a business opportunity. And that's really how we started. And so at first it was just like, how do we help champion creativity, facilitate this behavior that we're observing and turn it into something? And,
right.
and ultimately we were successful.
So talk about sort of the design process first. I mean, the way design is done has sort of been very artisanal, is that you hire a designer and—
That's right.
Talk through that, about what...
Yeah, so we're breaking down those borders. Typically, if you think about the classic design process, it was like you knew a friend or a friend knew a friend who connected you.
Right.
Or you worked in a workplace and there was someone in the corner who was the designer and you connected. At 99 Designs, what we did at first was a brief was posted. Designers would read that brief and think, do I have an idea that I think is appropriate for that?
Right.
Then they would engage by submitting their idea. Mm-hmm. You'd get an opportunity to collaborate, commit, learn, understand each other, and then work together.
Right.
And so we really just broke down those borders. No longer did it matter where you lived, who you knew, what your background was. Mm-hmm. It was all about, was your creative idea a match for what that person was looking for from their design brief? And so over time, we've invested a lot in how do we get a brief off someone online? What's the sort of information that helps drive good design? Mm-hmm. How do people collaborate online?
Well, let's talk about that. How do you do that in that digital format? Because, you know, there's a lot of great design ideas out there, but how are people shifting the way design is done? It's just because we don't think about design as much as we do the product itself.
Mm-hmm.
So talk a little bit about where design is going.
Well, I mean, design is ever evolving and touching more and more of our lives. I think, we've seen almost a design revolution. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the Appleization of the world. Design's become important. So there's no doubt, right? Here in this city, designers are revered. And I think we've seen that sort of move down right across small businesses of all type. Entrepreneurs, right, wherever they are in the world, are realizing that to stand out, differentiate their brand, to build trust, they need something. And so we've kind of benefited from that movement. And then what we've had to do is think about, all right, well, what are the things that are important? What are the important inputs? How do we get people who are perhaps new to design thinking about design? So there's lots of ideation, lots of style, lots of questions around who are you targeting, who's your target audience, trying to get our community of entrepreneurs to think, what is it they're looking to express? Mm-hmm. What is it that they want their business to stand for? Typically, if we think about branding, or who is their book targeting?
Mm-hmm.
And then our designers interpret that, do a lot of rapid ideation classically, right, and right, then that helps them refine what they're looking for.
Now, when you think about design, though, when you think about doing it, it's what you're doing, these are a lot of people who are, they're not entrepreneurs precisely, but they're individual contractors, I guess, in terms of having to do their work.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are the big design firms that people hire and stuff like that. The breaking down of this and making it, democratizing of it is... you have to have a platform for doing that, which
That's
is what 99 Designs is. So explain your business.
Okay, so our business is exactly, we are all about being a platform. It's all about how do we take all of these customers all over the world, we're in eight languages.
Who are looking for blank. Give me an
design.
Example.
A logo for Recode, a new book cover for your next book, illustrations. We were just talking before with Eric about new merch ideas. He wants pod merch. He's not getting a lot of love from the marketing team. He's like, oh, we should be talking to 99 Designs. And that's exactly what would happen. He would actually rogue it, come to 99 and say, hey, I want to create a bunch of these illustrations or some t-shirt designs. He would submit his brief. Our designers would read his brief and then they would start to submit their ideas.
Right.
And so our platform has evolved so that we can, we're kind of to build a really sort of big piece of software that essentially sits in the cloud that allows 10,000 designers who are online right now, engaging with over 10,000 clients and doing that all in real time, right? So they are interpreting briefs, they're submitting designs, they're collaborating, they're communicating. And then we're also handling payments. We've paid designers in 192
countries. So explain the business model. So,
so the business model is like...
You're like between them.
That's right. So we're like most platforms, we take a cut between what they pay and what the designer gets.
And you, and to attract people to the platform, you, I mean, much like TaskRabbit, I guess, it's the idea of that they, there's someone to do something. You keep, you bring them to the platform because they can't do this on their own.
Designers or customers?
Both.
Both, exactly. We're solving a really hard problem. Being a freelance designer has traditionally been a really hard road. How did you break into it? In the early days, most of the people who served our coffee came from the creative arts.
Right.
It was like, you went into an agency and said, hey, I'm looking for a job straight out of school. And like, great, show me your portfolio. You'd have some work from you did at school.
Maybe
like, where's your real experience?
Right.
Well, we solve all of that, right? There's this, we've aggregated all of this work that sits there that's ready for someone to do in our creative community. And then they are able to choose projects that stimulate them, explore design styles that stimulate them, and then practice their craft, build a portfolio, get real experience working with real-world clients, which a lot of time they then turn into either a sustaining freelance career, an opportunity to go and take a full-time job somewhere else.
At one of these places.
Exactly.
Right, because you're trying to link those two together.
Well, what we're trying to do is give people to work the way they want. You know, like for us, it's about creative choice. It's about giving people opportunity wherever they are and wherever they reside, no matter of who they are. I mean, one of the things that we're most proud of is the fact that most of the work on 99 Designs is based on the quality of the work.
Right.
Or someone's interpretation of your idea. It's not what school you went to, what postcode you live in, gender, whatever.
Well, talk about that because you operate in Australia, which is not here.
That's
in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, we operate, we've got offices in Berlin, Oakland and Australia, but we started in Australia. But we started
I noticed that from your accent.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, it's a bit obvious.
Right.
So we started in Australia, but with a global viewpoint. We were a .com with, we only took US payment. We were, our forum was based out of a US information site. So we were very much started with a global viewpoint, and very quickly our community represented that. Designers from day one were from all over the world. Customers from day one were from all over the world. And so we embraced that. And I think coming from Australia, you kind of have to, right? You've been there.
It's
a far place, but it's also amazingly international.
It is.
Right? 28% of the population is a brand new immigrant,
mm-hmm.
right? Like 50%
right.
first generation. So everyone's from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And we also love to travel. You can't go anywhere in the world without meeting a bloody Aussie, right?
Like no, I know that. Yeah, that's true. They're everywhere.
So we're everywhere. So we go. I spent 7 years living here. I came and opened our office. We've grown that. Mm-hmm. We engage with all that Silicon Valley has to offer. And then I've retreated home.
How do you like the contrast between Silicon Valley and here when you're creating a startup like this?
I think we have to have very different mindsets. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's a level of confidence that comes from being a Silicon Valley entrepreneur that mm-hmm. I don't know if Australians have.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think we're getting better at embracing right. entrepreneurship.
Right.
The reality of it, lots of Australian companies just like us mm-hmm. don't have access to funding early on. So you have to bootstrap. You have to think about models. So making money is important. Mm-hmm. I know you've spoken to Mike from Atlassian.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's about four companies that you all have.
That's right.
There's you, who's the other one?
We're very proud of Canva. Spoken to Mal.
From Canva.
That's right. But there's lots of companies coming out of Australia that mm-hmm. I think are doing really interesting things. But generally, mm-hmm. they do start, a lot of them, especially in the old days, started with this bootstrap mentality. I think now, and you've met a bunch of them, the VC community in Australia is evolving.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of quality there. There's firms like Blackbird Capital and Square Peg Ventures who are doing really good work with
mm-hmm.
a fair bit of a capital. So I think no longer do Australian startups think, oh, I have to make money from day one. There's mm-hmm. actually a path to raising capital.
Right.
But mm-hmm. Silicon Valley still is the beacon, right? Mm-hmm. This is the biggest pot of money in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And
but
so
Silicon Valley hasn't done that many design startups at all.
No.
Like it hasn't, which I think is interesting. Like the idea of anything around the creative arts. They've been elsewhere. Framebridge is in Washington. Like
yes.
anything that's creative seems to be somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, except for the biggest creative company in the world, which
Adobe.
Is Adobe.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
So apart from that.
That's
right.
All right, that's a fair point.
Yeah, but yes, I think that's right. We've seen design in Australia. We're over-indexing mm-hmm. a little, right? Like there's mm-hmm. 99 Designs. There's Canva. There's mm-hmm. Envato. There's a bunch of businesses thinking about creativity and mm-hmm. how that can be applied on a global scale.
All right. When we get back, we're going to talk more about creativity on a global scale because I think that's one thing that is missing from a lot of companies here in Silicon Valley is the concept of where creativity goes and how you push it out. We're here with Patrick Llewellyn. He's the president and CEO of 99 Designs. It's an Australian firm that specializes in designs. When we get back, we'll talk more.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
This week on The Gray Area, writer Derek Thompson makes his case that everything has become a cult. Well, almost everything.
Is Taylor Swift the closest thing we have to a mass cult today?
No, I think she's the closest thing we have to Christianity. It's me.
Find out if you're in a cult this week on The Gray Area, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're here with Patrick Llewellyn. He's the CEO of 99 Designs. We're talking about, it's an Australian company that specializes in putting together clients of design with designers themselves, which is a basic platform play, right?
Exactly. Correct.
Like, that's all it is.
I mean, well, we think about it as a very sophisticated platform play because design is actually very nuanced.
Well, explain the difference because it's not unlike Uber or anything else, like putting together drivers with riders.
That's right, except all of the collaboration and work happens online, on our platform, cross-language, cross-time zone.
Right.
designs.
Right.
And across this fairly eclectic medium, which is creativity, right?
Right.
So at the heart of what we do as humans, mm-hmm. and we're trying to make that happen at a global
right.
scale. Now,
right.
yes, Uber's doing it, but it's localized, right? Like
right.
TaskRabbit does it, but it's localized.
Right.
I'm bringing to people together.
Right.
Typically, the interaction is happening there.
Right.
We're bringing to people together and making that interaction happen online.
Well, talk about how you do this, because creativity done online is harder.
Like, yes, it is harder.
It's most of the successful companies are transactional companies.
Yes.
So talk about getting creativity in a platform manner.
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, we're very passionate about this notion of future of work, right? If we can mm-hmm. all get good at working online,
mm-hmm.
then I actually think society is going to be better placed,
mm-hmm.
right? Like
mm-hmm.
80% of our designers live in outside the major metro areas
right.
in which they reside. So we're already seeing that it can decongest cities, create opportunity wherever it can find itself.
So talent. You're saying the talentism,
Yeah, exactly. Right. But there's no doubt that what we've tackled is actually pretty hard,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, and we've actually had to take a fair bit of time at doing it because it
right.
is nuanced and there's lots of components. We've had to become a payments company, a community company, a support company,
mm-hmm.
as well as online collaboration and
mm-hmm.
e-commerce, right? So you're right. There is many factors to what we've had to build,
mm-hmm.
But we are really excited about what we have done. And our evolution is really all about taking that now and really thinking about it holistically as a platform. I think if you'd asked me 4 years ago, what is 99? I'd say,
yeah.
we're a marketplace.
Right.
Today, I'm like, we're a platform. And we're
right.
actually opening that platform.
Explain the difference. What do you mean you're a marketplace? You are a marketplace.
Well, we are a marketplace, but we think it's much more sophisticated than just bringing people together to transact.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're actually providing, as we've said, all of those tools.
Mm-hmm.
We're also thinking about what's our place in the broader ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
So starting to open up our platform for partners, thinking about how can we API all of these components
mm-hmm.
and give others access to this amazing creative pool
mm-hmm.
so that it can help them advance
their
tools.
Explain that.
Well, if you think about DIY design tools or
right.
website builders,
right.
creative communities like video or photography, having access to designers who could augment that work and turn it into something would be really valuable,
mm-hmm.
right? And all of us can go to a DIY site and hopefully with time and effort put it in, but a lot of
right.
us are time poor. And so
right.
that notion that if we could actually have the right creative at
mm-hmm.
the right time ready to do work,
right.
then that could actually benefit
right.
the platform
right.
and benefit their customers and
so,
our designers.
So when you're taking the thing between it, when you're trying to move an analog business into the digital space, especially around creativity,
mm-hmm.
talk about some of the tools you use to do so, because that's creativity is very different than ordering, like I said, a transactional, ordering a pizza or ordering whatever you order from Amazon or however you bring together different groups of people.
Sure. So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot about community development.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot about finding the right audience. So we're building a lot of rich content to make sure that we reach a broad audience.
Mm-hmm.
We're then thinking about that connection. So we're taking lots of data. We're using everything that we can see. One of the beauties about being a platform is I know that Eric worked with Kara,
mm-hmm.
right? I know what designs he submitted.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what you thought about them. And if I see you work together, then I can say, well, these are actually great signals
right.
that design is being done well between the two of you.
Right.
And then therefore, I can think of Eric as a quality creative.
Right.
And so then I can start to better match Eric with future opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, it is this sort of holistic view of all of the components. We're not in the business of building tools for people to create the design. We're in the
mm-hmm.
business of trying to facilitate the most efficient ways of matching the right creatives
well,
with the right.
Can you digitize creativity? Can you do that?
I think we're seeing a lot of people attempt it.
Mm-hmm.
I think creativity is very much a human pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can support creativity through
mm-hmm.
digitization. I think using data, using influencers, taking all of the feedback loops and applying
mm-hmm.
that. But I actually still think at its heart, humanity wants to connect with each other
right.
to pursue something creative. And I'm a big believer that, in fact, it's probably the last bastion. Now,
mm-hmm.
the robots may take us all over at some
point. Yeah, we're going to get to that in a minute.
Right.
But I want to get to that idea,
yeah.
the idea of digitizing creativity in
yes.
terms of, you know, there are marketplaces where you just meet, which is what you essentially are.
That's
really.
Right. Meeting online.
Right, meeting online. And so what talk about the tools you need to do that. What makes you different from a platform compared to any other marketplace.
It's all of the components. It's making sure that we...
I'm like, how are you different than Angie's List? Or, you know, you could like...
Because we got tools that allow mm-hmm. you to annotate a design and give feedback and mm-hmm. poll your friends and get feedback from your friends. And
right.
we built specific tools for agencies so that they can show off their work, get NDAs, mm-hmm. Engage with their clients, get that feedback, right. pass that on. So there's
right.
basically a lot of what we're thinking about is how do we connect the right people and then how do we facilitate the collaboration,
mm-hmm.
right? So what is it that they need to collaborate?
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to make sure that they're utilizing Google Translate? So
right.
if there's a language barrier, they're helping break that down.
Mm-hmm.
It's making sure that we understand who's good at what
mm-hmm.
and who's got the right expertise and then trying mm-hmm. to help usher those folks mm-hmm. in front of the people looking for that talent.
And what are some of the things that they're availing themselves to in terms of doing these things? What are the tools that are the most important when you're doing this?
So for which side? The creative?
For the creatives.
Yeah, so for the creatives, what they need is access to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
They need access to software.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Adobe. Like for example, so they're mm-hmm. going to need access to the sorts of design software that allows mm-hmm. them mm-hmm. to build what it is that our clients are looking for.
Right.
So mm-hmm. I think what we have seen and what makes this super exciting is
mm-hmm.
the internet's become ubiquitous
mm-hmm.
and the cost of computing's come way down.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's what's really been a strong growth signal for us is the mm-hmm. fact that more and more people have access to the software and the computing power they need to be able to
create. Do this, exactly. like what Autodesk is doing.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Right. And also they need to learn,
mm-hmm.
right? So there's now YouTube, Skillshare, mm-hmm. there's all of these sites that
right.
share
right.
access to creative tutorials.
Mm-hmm.
And then we apply a place where if you're new, you can still get access to some clients and start mm-hmm. to learn and you mm-hmm. can get feedback. And we have a very active forum. We have community engagement where well-known designers are coaching newbie designers
mm-hmm.
there, and we're providing a whole lot of information on best practice.
Right. Now, you guys have raised how much money? You talked about the Australian venture capital market. Mm-hmm. It's not that big, right? Correct?
No, it's not. No, right. it's not. And we haven't raised from any Australian.
Was it
Australian.
Like Rupert Murdoch's cousin or something?
That's no, it. I think it's... It's the 3 degrees of Mike Cannon Brookes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, I'm being joking. Like, I mean, I think Mike has done an amazing work.
This is Atlassian.
Exactly, yeah. exactly. And Scott, right? Mm-hmm. The two of them are actually huge supporters of Australian tech
mm-hmm.
and investing a lot of their money in tech, which mm-hmm. I think is fantastic for the industry.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also seeing other first generation tech entrepreneurs. The first
right.
VC I knew in Sydney was a guy called Roger Allen, who made mm-hmm. his money actually in IT services selling to Rupert Murdoch,
mm-hmm.
right? And so mm-hmm. he did that in the 90s
mm-hmm.
and then took his small fortune and applied it to lots of different
across
industries.
Across Australia.
Exactly, across Australia. And now, of course, plenty of US-based VCs
mm-hmm.
invest there. Excel is our major investor.
Right.
And so they found us.
How much money have you have invested in? You?
So we've raised $45
million. That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. A lot of that was secondary. So
right.
it's actually... Realistically, we haven't had a whole lot of contributed capital. So
right,
we've had to be pretty lean.
Meaning that you're profitable?
Yes.
You're profitable in terms of doing these joinings, essentially.
That's right. And right. And providing all of that we need to do to
mm-hmm.
support that platform. We've got 120 people around the world, a lot mm-hmm. of folks building the software, a lot of folks supporting
right.
the interactions.
Right.
Services are tricky, so
right.
there's actually still a lot in supporting our design community and supporting those customer
right.
interactions in 8 languages, and then attracting clients,
mm-hmm.
so a lot mm-hmm. of demand-side generation so that
right.
our designers get access
right.
to the work.
How do you get people comfortable using design firms like this, like sort of off the cuff?
Trust.
Right.
Word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
50% of our clients come through
mm-hmm.
a referral, so it's
right.
kind of a bit like the old days. Like, you know, you used to refer a friend.
Yeah.
And now if you've had a good experience in 99 Designs, you refer us.
Right.
And so we do benefit from that because I think design is a personal mm-hmm. thing. And we've done a lot of branding and people like to talk about their brand.
Mm-hmm.
You've been in the Valley a long time. I'm
mm-hmm.
sure plenty of people have talked to you about whatever it is on their T-shirt.
I'm wearing
brand
right now.
That's
yeah.
right. So
yeah.
I think that has been a very important catalyst
mm-hmm.
For our growth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And your goal is to what? Where do you go? Where does 99 Designs go then?
Well, we continue to evolve the platform. Like
mm-hmm.
we talked about this notion of design contests. Now,
mm-hmm. design contest, yeah.
That's right. Now,
yeah.
40% of our work is now through a direct connection between a designer and a client. So we've got this thing that we call direct work.
Mm-hmm.
We see the evolution of both of those mechanics. So we're
mm-hmm.
trying to figure out what's the best way to get a designer or a creative in front of the right client?
Right.
If you need fast ideation, you need lots of variety, then this design contest is a great way to do that. If you need to do something complicated and intricate, then a direct match is a better way of doing that. If you need to do something fast, a direct match is a better way to do that.
Right.
We see ourselves evolving. We see the opportunity to solve more problems for creatives. Like the reality of it, there's some adjacencies that we're super excited about. So we look at animation, 3D, VR, AR, video.
Right.
These are all
Which
trends.
Has been tried. These kind of digital studios have been tried. They just haven't.
That's right. I think our time has come. I mean, I think the reality of it is, to your point, people don't necessarily think first of working online to solve these problems.
Right.
But luckily for us, there's been an explosion of apps over the last 10 years that people start to think about, oh, is there a, you know, a lift to be politically correct in this town. You know, like, is there a lift for that? Is that, you know,
you can say Uber. It's okay.
Turn
Uber for that. Yeah. All right, when we get back, we're going to talk more about where creativity is going with Patrick Llewellyn. He's the president and CEO of 99 Designs, which links creators with people who need creative things. When we get back.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
We're here with Patrick Llewellyn. He's the CEO of 99 Designs. It's an Australian company. I met him when I was in Melbourne. Was I in Melbourne?
You were in Melbourne.
What was
we were actually on a funny TV show together.
Weird. That was weird.
We don't have any red buttons in front of us today.
No, we're not going to do that. We're not silly people. But I do want to talk about moving creative jobs online because, again, so much is done is transactional or things. Can you talk a little bit of where you see that going? Like musicians sort of have done that, obviously. Writers are obviously online. Artists are less so, like marketplaces of artists. Mm-hmm. Where do you see it going? Like sort of the creative, you're talking about doing animation, video, you know, people obviously do YouTube and things like that.
I think we'll see these platforms evolve and become a lot more sophisticated. I think we'll see virtual teams be created, virtual agencies be created.
What happens to agencies? Like, why do we need them anymore? They haven't been disrupted quite yet.
They haven't yet, right?
Because why do we have advertising agencies?
I think because there is something that they do that's powerful about engaging with the client directly and chaperoning through the creative process, right? So I don't think we'll ever displace them.
Why not?
Well, I mean, because I think there's something. I think people will still look for that trusted layer.
Right.
I think we should power them. I think agencies should be built on the top of 99 Designs. I think there could be a chance where you'll see more and more of the creative thought leadership happening from folks who play those roles on these online platforms, right? So virtual creative directors, art directors, you know, teams of folks. Because what do you need to bring creative together? Typically, it's a combination of a great writer and a creative director and a great designer. And, and so there's that collaboration piece that we haven't tackled yet, but I think that opportunity exists.
Right.
And I think right now what we've been doing is we see agencies are one of our fastest growing segments. So we're seeing lots
agencies coming on to your
site. Yes, that's right.
Now, agencies would be bypass agencies, right?
Well, we could, but there's also, if agencies have built trust with a client, if a client feels that this agency is the best person, or maybe I'm getting a bunch of stuff done by an agency, so they're helping me with my branding, my website, and my ad spend. If that agency outsources the branding or the website design to someone like 99 Designs, the client's happy, right? They're getting the quality they need at a price point that they need. So we're sort of a facilitator. And I think we've seen agencies, traditionally, they've been big employers of freelancers. One of the competitive advantage of the creative agency was which freelancers they knew and kept hidden from the competition.
Right.
Now, we've democratized that.
Right,
so there's less of that. So what they need to get good at is utilizing the crowd.
Right.
We've got an agency based in Denmark, Cosmic People, doing amazing work. They were an agency of 100.
Mm-hmm. When you never heard of.
Like, no,
only exactly. The Danes.
Exactly. And they're now 20.
Mm-hmm.
And they use us primarily for mm-hmm. all of the design work for big brands. Mm-hmm. And they're pushing the boundaries of what we're capable of.
Which they never would have been found by big clients.
That's right. But so they're finding clients and they are utilizing us in ways that we could never imagine. So we're mm-hmm. seeing awesome animation. We're mm-hmm. seeing huge billboards for huge brands that mm-hmm. they are putting together as part of an integrated campaign. So what they're focused on, they're saying, cool, what we're good at is actually pitching big ideas to big clients mm-hmm. and engaging with them.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't need to necessarily have, we actually think a competitive advantage is how good we are at using a global creative audience.
Right. To do that versus the other way of doing it.
Well, the other way is I am limited to the talent that resides in Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's plenty of really talented Danes, but there's not a ton of them,
mm-hmm.
right? If I can access all of the talent.
Limited talented Danes, but go ahead.
No, I think we say they're super talented, but there's not a ton of them.
Right.
But if they can access talent in other geographies, then they can create amazing work.
Is that what creative agencies have to think of in the future, is that talent is everywhere? Or should, you know, is there, I mean, because it's been concentrated in New York, right? Maybe Los Angeles a little bit.
That's right. There's other centers.
London,
yes.
You know.
Berlin's always been a bit of a design center. There's a design center. Like, the major cities
mm-hmm.
have traditionally had strong design cores.
Right.
But then that dissipates when you get out. And I think we're seeing the demand for that all over,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, like, if you're an agency based outside a major city, then attracting talent's always been tough.
Mm-hmm. So you might as well.
Exactly. You know, well, why not take advantage of the global workforce that's sitting for you?
Right.
I think all of us mm-hmm. are thinking more broadly about where's the talent coming from.
Right.
I mean, the fact that Silicon Valley now invests all over the world, I mean, I think I saw some stat that suggested that this year is the first time that they've invested. There's been more investment outside the U.S. than in it.
Right.
Right. So we are seeing.
Well, there's not enough rat holes to shove the money down here, so they're looking for international rat holes. But go ahead.
Well, I think what they're realizing is that, and I think you have understood this for a long time because mm-hmm. you actually get out and travel.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I get on planes.
You get on planes.
I take too many planes. I know too many names and I forget them. That's a line from Sean Colvin.
Right. But you realize that you go to these cities and you realize there's vibrancy and there's
absolutely.
People, and there's people trying to
and they're do. Isolated. And they're isolated. I'm very interested in talent. I call it talentism, which is global. That there's someone in Syria, there's someone in that is beautiful blank, whatever.
That's
they
right.
And they're unable to be accessed for the most part until now.
Until now. And that's
right. And there's been attempts to do this in lots of ways. And coding, there's been a couple of these platforms for coding and stuff like that. But creativity is harder because that is something that is a very artisanal, in your face, let me meet the designer. That's how we've sort of sold it.
Well, that's how we've generally sold it. And I think, you know, and it's subjective and there's mm-hmm. a lot of communication. And so mm-hmm. doing that online has certainly been challenging. Like mm-hmm. we haven't chosen the easiest of these mm-hmm. topics.
Right.
But it's one that we revel in. We've always been about champion creativity. And when you see the outcome of the right match happening and that right creative spark.
Right.
It brings joy.
But it either gives people a lot of opportunity to meet new clients, for example, that they wouldn't have had, or it gives a client a really good pool of testers. Like, you get free design.
Well, you can. That's right. You can get. We don't get to keep it. It's not yours, right? Like, you only get to. You have to pay to use it.
Yeah.
But what you do is get ideation on steroids, right? You get to get stimulated from views from all over the world.
Right. Do you ever imagine this becomes computer generated? I was going to get to that by the end mm-hmm. to finish up to talk about this. Do you imagine? So here you are linking creatives with people who need creative stuff, as you might do anything else, which is great, which they don't. You find talent everywhere, as mm-hmm. we said. But do you imagine this ever being completely digitized, where creativity is digitized?
No.
Why?
Because I think humans need other humans to make them feel good about their creative choice.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's something magical that happens in that interpretation. I think mm-hmm. it's actually very nuanced.
Mm-hmm.
And so, look, there'll be aspects of it that will be digitized.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll actually use aspects of it to create better informed briefs, mm-hmm. to make sure that there's better matches, to improve the skills of our designers. So they don't have to do mm-hmm. retouching because a bot can do that, then great, right? Like, but it's still at its heart, right? Creativity feels like something that is going to be the last bastion. Well, mm-hmm. they're going to have to be really smart.
Mm-hmm.
and very nuanced. And you talk a lot about this. And, you know, I really love your podcast. But this notion of humanities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And creativity is all about mm-hmm. human it. Mm-hmm. And being
allegedly.
Human.
I don't know. Some days I think you can digitize it.
Yeah, I think we'll digitize aspects of it. Mm-hmm. We're betting on humans.
Yeah, I was saying to Peter Jackson earlier, and he was talking about the colorization and stuff like that was done a lot by...
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to see lots of aspects of it where the bots will get better, right? Mm-hmm. And they'll do a great job of all of it. But who's going to come up with the story? Mm-hmm. Who's going to understand who it is that you're really trying to target and how to nuance that and deliver that in a way that helps you stand out? I think that nuance is still feels pretty human to me.
Yeah, for sure. What's the most interesting pairing you've seen on your platform?
That's a great question. I've seen a lot. I think, it's enormous. I mean, I think the fact that, one that comes to mind, we had an Italian designer who created a design for a rock star and ended up being in Rolling Stone magazine. Mm-hmm. All right, that was pretty amazing. That designer ended up being on the front page.
A piece of clothing or?
No, he created a tattoo for a rock star. We had no idea. An indie rock star who came onto our platform to source a special design for his arm, which he then got from an Italian designer.
Right.
And that was then
put on
his arm and that got picked up by the media, right? So then it was... It was in the national press in Italy. Mm-hmm. It was in Rolling Stone magazine. Mm-hmm. That was a pretty unusual pairing, right? Like, so I probably put that in the unusual basket. Mm-hmm. I think the relationships that we see are really interesting. There's an Australian designer who's based in Perth. Mm-hmm.
That's at the end, right?
Yeah, it's like on the other side, the most isolated capital city in the world.
Perth. It's way over there.
Probably it'll be hard for you to get to.
I'm not going to Perth. Yeah. Sorry, Perthians. Yeah. Is it Perthians or Perthers?
Yeah, I don't know. It's Western Australia.
Those from
Perth. We talk about the state, less about the city. Where it is Melburnians. I don't actually know what it is for Perthians.
Is it Melburnians?
It is Melburnians.
Sydney
Siders.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we always look
I urge everyone to go to Australia. It's a wonderful, especially Melbourne. It's an astonishing city.
Yeah, I'm really proud of it. I love it. I think something special is happening there. Yeah. I think there's something that happens in a society that's that open. As you've seen it, there's a great social security net. Mm-hmm. I think in general, society functions well.
Is it different when you come here, when you come to the U.S. tech scene?
I think the U.S. tech scene is still at another level. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is still the epicenter of what's going on.
Do you like it?
I do. I sometimes find it overwhelming. Mm-hmm. You know, I think to be fair, like I've got family, I've got other interests. Mm-hmm. You kind of have to be 100% here all the time. People, you know, it's sometimes nice to be in another city where the first question out of someone's mouth is not, what do you do?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Welcome to America.
Right. A little, right? And so I do, but, you know, at the same time, I love being here. I come here regularly. It is one of the most stimulating places. I almost leave exhausted, right, just because there's so much going on. If you can tap into this rich vein. Mm-hmm. As a young Aussie, entrepreneur when I arrived here, if I can use the term entrepreneur, as someone who joined it. But when I arrived, we were a small team and I remember being staggered. The first job I was hiring for was a $15 an hour customer support role. And the first thing that came out of the guy's mouth that I was interviewing was, well, what's your equity plan? And who are your VCs? These are questions that we'd never been asked in our history. So this place is on steroids.
So do you think that other places can form a real entrepreneurial society, or is it just Silicon Valley?
I think we'll see entrepreneurial societies build everywhere, I think, but they'll just be different. I don't think anyone will do it at the scale that happens here, and I think it's hard to replicate. There is something magic about the combination of the quadrant of education institutions, the massive amounts of capital, and then there's something, the self-belief is what we talked about.
Arrogance is what I call it.
But yeah. I think it's... Sometimes I think it's fantastic to see that self-belief, and then sometimes I think we see the downside of it, and you talk a lot about that.
Mm. So where does 99 Designs go? Where do you imagine taking it?
Well, I think right now we focus
on... There isn't one like 99 Designs in Silicon Valley.
There's people who do it. There's broader platforms that do a bit of everything. Like, you know, recently we saw Upwork list on NASDAQ.
Yeah.
And so I think, they are about... I think, ultimately, we want to stay a strong independent company. We want to focus on building great product. We want to keep servicing clients. And we, you know, now we're open for partnership, right? We're looking for folks who think that they can utilize our creative community mm-hmm. to help solve mm-hmm. their problems, right. help improve the experience for their customers. And so right now, our focus is all about how do we advance our platform? How do we improve our service? How do we make these matches better? Mm-hmm. You know, how do we do a better job of what we're doing? Mm-hmm. I think long term, you know, being in Australia.
Do you ever imagine replacing agencies?
No. I don't know. I think we will be partners to agencies before we replace them. Mm-hmm. We do have big corporate clients who come to us directly. So we do mm-hmm. see, you know, Univision uses us. We've mm-hmm. seen big banks use us, big German companies of all mm-hmm. descriptions use us for mm-hmm. a wide variety of product of design needs. Mm-hmm. I think there'll be a place for everyone. Like, I actually, you know, I think we see a lot
That's
of coincidence.
That's an Australian thing to say. If you were a Silicon Valley person, you would go, yes,
I'll destroy them.
Kill them. Kill them because they're old and they deserve to be dead. Yeah, I got to help you practice. You're just too nice.
Sorry, I know. I just think there's going to be room
for
everyone.
I'm going to disrupt them, say that.
Yeah,
well. From here, you can't even do it. You can't even do it.
Well, I am
pretend you're Russell Crowe in Gladiator and do it, like, kind of thing or something, but you can't.
Well, Russell Crowe is actually not Australian.
Oh, isn't he? What is he?
He's a New Zealander.
Are they different? I'm sorry.
Well.
Yes, I know they're different countries. I'm aware
You just
of
had
it.
Peter Jackson.
I did. Peter Jackson's not Australian. He's
not.
Zealand.
We, you know, I mean, the no, running.
It's like Canadians and Americans.
That's right. It's, you know, like what we like to say is the happy Americans are Canadian. And you know, and then a talented New Zealander is an Australian.
Oh, that's a little bit of, we did birth Rupert Murdoch, so we never turn our backs on Australians. That's how we feel about it.
That's right. Lucky we've got the Hemsworth boys to back.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. They're from there. You got a lot of good things going on in Australia. Anyway, Patrick, it's really great talking to you. It's really nice to get someone from another part of the world talking about their entrepreneurial activities. And thank you for coming on the show. Thanks to you all for listening. You can find more episodes of Recode Decode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts. And please tell a friend about this show. You can follow me on Twitter at Kara Swisher. Patrick, where can people find you online and also 99 Designs?
So 99 Designs is at all of those places.
You can find
at 99 Designs. I'm not particularly active on social, but you can find me on
You're
LinkedIn.
Not?
No.
No. Good for you, Patrick.
Yeah, I'm really focused on what we're trying to build and champion creativity.
You don't got time for no Twitter.
I do glean lots of news, but
glean. What a nice word.
But I don't. I don't need to insert myself.
No, you don't. Good idea. Stay out of it. Stay out of it. Stay out of it. Trump is in there, so stay out of it until he leaves. Now that you're done with this, go check out our other podcasts, Recode Media and Pivot. You can find those shows wherever you found this one. Thanks for listening to this episode of Recode Decode. Thanks to our editor Joel Robbie and our producer Eric Johnson. I'll be back here on Monday. Tune in then.